Hey, good evening. We'd like to welcome each of you with our Christmas Eve service today. Thank you for being here, and the ones that's online, we thank you for joining us there. But it sort of turned a little bit cooler on us, but we're glad each of you have come out and to the special service. I want to read Matthew 2, 10 through 11. It says, "When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Talking about the star, we were able to see the star. I don't know how many of you got to see it this week, but we were able to see the star. And I don't think we'll be able to see it again as long as we're here. But we had that privilege this week. But we want to welcome you again, each one of you here. After I say the prayer, the praise team will begin our service this afternoon. Thank each of you again for coming. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this special time of the season, Lord. The gift that you gave us, Lord, the greatest gift. We thank you for that. Thank you for Jesus. Be with us tonight in our service, and just thank you for the blessings that you give us. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. beginning was John 1, 1, 1 through 4.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He was with God in the beginning.
Through him all things came to be, not one thing had its being but through him.
All that came to be had life in him, and that life was the light of men, a light that shines in the dark, a light that darkness could not overpower.
A man came sent by God, his name was John. He came as a witness to speak for the light, so that everyone might believe through him.
He was not the light, only a witness to speak for the light.
The Word was the true light that enlightens all men, and he was coming into the world.
He was in the world that had its being through him, and the world did not know him.
He came to his own domain, and his own people did not accept him.
But to all who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to all who believe in the name of him, who was born not of human stock or urge of flesh or will of man, but to God himself.
The Word was made flesh. He lived among us, and we saw his glory, the glory that is his as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth.
The first time I ever heard this little song was through the children's garden, and they do the hand motions and everything, but we're just going to sing it, okay? Come on, ring those bells.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were angels living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who had been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother married, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they were told.
Sit on the front row. We're going to read about Humphrey, a camel who helped take gifts to Jesus. Beloved, most beautiful and exalted king of all should be my name. Instead, they called me Humphrey. This I could bear if the worst of all had not happened. My dearest possession, my glorious carpet blanket, had been lost along the trail. And now I am cold and I suffer terribly. That is why I set into motion a plan to replace my greatest of all treasures. Carefully I nudge my nose inside the caravan master's tent. This is followed closely by the chattering of my teeth, thereby letting the master know that I am enormously cold. Success! He has not pushed me out, and I remain hopeful that a new blanket will soon be mine. Three rich caravans have joined us, and there have been talk of kings. Yet these kings bring me no joy, for they have tied three huge chests to my bare back, and they are so heavy. I'm sure each must be filled with rocks. Other camels are wearing the finest of blankets, and they are all comfortable and warm. Not one of them thinks about me, their cousin, in pain and misery because of the loss of my most precious carpet blanket. I cry out in sorrow. I cry. Today I continue my plan to regain my treasure blanket. I add loud sniffling to the chattering of my teeth and squeeze my entire body inside my master's tent. And as I do so, out rolls my master, for the tent is exactly camel-sized. It is as I planned, and the master chases me away. He tosses me a new blanket. I have success. Once more I am covered with splendor and comfort. I am filled with delight. If it were not for the heavy chest I am forced to carry, I would be almost happy. Look, you see the pictures? We have followed one star for many nights. Now our caravan enters the town of Bethlehem. And streets and inns are crowded with travelers. My master gives no thought to my tired feet and rumbling belly, and I'm forced to move on. At last we reach the end of our journey, but I'm confused. There is no great palace, no rich oasis, no palms heavy with fruit. I only see a lowly stable with a family inside. Three kings rejoice and rush forward to bow before the young woman who cradles a baby. Finally, the chests are taken from my back and placed before this tiny child. Each box is opened, and I see no stones, only gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Y'all look right here. Look up here. In this land, I have walked past many children, but never before have I felt the need to walk towards one. Now I kneel before this baby shivering in a manger. Watching him gladdens me more than sweet water, fresh hay, or even my wondrous new blanket. I look into the baby's eyes and I'm overwhelmed by love. I pull the treasure from my back and lay my gift carefully upon this child. He smiles and my nose and my whiskers tingle with joy. I'm happy to my toes, and even without my blanket, I feel warm. Beloved, most beautiful and exalted king of all should be his name. And instead they call him, what do you think they call the baby? What's the baby's name?
Jesus.
Very good. Y'all go back and sit with your families, okay? Come on, Avery. Go back and sit with Mom and Dad.
If y'all know him, so we're glad to have him with us tonight, bringing our Christmas Eve message.
Well, I am I'm sure happy to be here. There was a little difficulty at first just because of me being running a little behind and stuff, but I'm definitely glad to be here and glad to be back at Cypress Street, my original church home. Before we begin, I want to apologize in advance. I was told to speak within 10 to 12 minutes. Well, For those of you who know me, that's going to be a little difficult, but we're going to give it a shot. And this isn't going to be a typical Christmas service story, because I believe we do a great job already. Y'all do a great job as a church already, speaking about and getting the message across of Jesus being born of a virgin. But I want to get across, as I was told, the four main topics of Christmas, which are peace, hope, joy, and love. And when we talk about those things, we can easily apply them to the Christmas story and the lights and the star and our Savior and Mary and Joseph and just everybody like that. But we can also apply it to today's world, because I want to give you a message tonight with the 12 minutes that I have that doesn't just prepare you to come back next year and hear the same message over again. But I want to equip us all to go out into the world and to share the gospel the best way we can and the best way we know how to do. And so with that being said, can we turn to John 14:27? If you have your Bibles, turn with me there, and we will begin with talking about the peace of Jesus. And you can use your phones as well. I'm pretty cool with that, because I don't freak out as long as you're not playing Candy Crush or anything, we're good. So starting at verse 27, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So Jesus is saying here, he says, I don't give you the kind of peace that the world gives you. I give you the peace that I give you, and only I can give you. And what we get from this early on is that the world can give us peace. They can give us a peace of mind. They can give us a peace of mind. You get insurance, which is a great thing. You have home, you have shelter, which is a great thing. Also generally provided by God, ultimately. But the government can provide this stuff. The world can provide this stuff. But There's something that the world can't provide. There's a type of peace that the world can't provide that only Jesus can provide, and that's a peace at heart. He says, take heart. And later on, a couple chapters later in chapter 16, he says, I've overcome the world. Take heart. And so when we get in trying times with COVID complications going on, or with the election going on, no matter what side you're on, we can all agree it's been confusing this year, as it has been for the past however long. But there's just a lot of confusion going on in the world and America, and just very, very unpeaceful times that we need this peace that only Jesus can provide. And with that, it's like, where do you find that? I believe in Jesus, but I'm still troubled by what's going on. I believe in Jesus. I go to church every Sunday, but like, it's still confusing. May I start by saying that we must pray, but I won't go into detail of every issue and every tactic to break every issue, because I just don't have the time for that. But I want to encourage you by saying that if you are in Christ, there is peace in Him. And there is a peace that can only be found in Him, and only He can provide. And we must put an emphasis on only Him, because no one else can do that for you. And then we tie this peace into hope and into joy as well. And the hope that we find in Christ, we hear the Christmas story every year about Jesus coming and being born of a virgin, and that's a miracle in itself. And then we see the life that Jesus lives and the prophecies that he fulfills and the death that he dies and the resurrection that he has. And he tells us, he says, hey, just remain peaceful, take heart, and just trust in me, believe in me. It only takes belief. Just to believe in Jesus and everything that he has said and everything that he did and everything that he has accomplished and he will accomplish in future glory. That we must just take heart in that and have a hope in that. That, hey, Jesus is who he says he is. We're not just, like, Christmas is a very important holiday. We love to receive gifts. We love to give gifts. But do we understand the actual meaning of Christmas? We serve a king. We don't just serve a baby. Like, this baby that we are worshiping today and celebrating tonight isn't just your average baby. It's not just a cute little baby and then we're like, oh, how precious. Like, do we realize what this baby went to accomplish 33 years later? Like, I want that to soak in with all of us tonight, even myself, because we don't live like it. I mean, if I can be honest with you, there's a time for Christians to be calmly peaceful, and there's a time for them to be a little little more aggressively peaceful. And Jesus did flip tables after all. And so as I'm speaking to a church tonight, I want to encourage us to get out and we need to flip tables in a sensible way of, like, we can't side with everything that seems okay or seems pretty from the outside looking in and think we're going to accomplish what Jesus wants us to accomplish. Because if we don't do it for the sake of Jesus, and if we do it just for worldly standards and for worldly approval, we will not accomplish that for future glory. And what I mean by this is we can tie this in to love and what true love is. And as 1 Corinthians 13:13 tells us, that faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. And that applies to the four topics we're talking about tonight. I kind of skipped over joy, but we can also tie joy into the peace that Jesus brings and the hope that Jesus brings. Those three that I first touched on, the hope, the peace, and the joy, they're all three important, and they're all three sort of similar in a way. Like, we can only remain joyful in Christ. Nothing else will bring you joy. Only joy can be found when you are fixed on Jesus, not worldly things, not the bills that you have to pay. Focus on those, because those are important, and there will be bad things that happen if you don't pay your bills. But we can't get weighed down by bills or by governments or by anything like this, but rather we must stay focused no matter what life throws our way, that, hey, there's joy in Jesus, because there's future glory to come. And think about all the history that we have behind us. We live in 2020, so there's a lot of things that have happened before, and I'm sure there's a lot of things to happen to come, but our life's just a vapor, and so we must remain joyful in that vapor, and must remain peaceful, and must remain hopeful in Christ and His return, but not only His return, also the future glory that we have, because I believe that we preach a gospel today that's kind of a scare tactic sort of thing, where we're like, hey, Jesus is coming back, believe in Him. Well, Jesus is coming back, and believe in Him, but I don't want to preach to you that in a fearful way. I don't want to preach to you like, oh, you got to do it now. Like, what I want to tell you is that there's glory in Christ. Like, we're going to be glorified with Him in heaven, and I want you to be a part of that. And so if you don't have a relationship with Jesus by the end of the night, I want you to have one. And so going back and tying this all into love, if you don't mind turning with me one more time to 1 John. And we're going to go to 1 John 4:7-8. And I'll give you a little time to turn there. But we're going to talk about love for the next, I guess, 3 minutes that I have. And I want to sum this up in a way that gets us going and gets us hopeful for the holidays, even though, like I said, there's a lot of complications going on, and we're not able to be with the family that we want to be with, and we're not able to do the things that we want to do. But eventually we'll get back to that point, and in the meantime, we can prepare ourselves and equip ourselves for that. So reading 1 John 4:7-8, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not know God, because God is love." So then we get to the point of, what is love? What is love? Like, we see all these things on social media or all across the world, and we see signs and banners specifically with rainbows on them that say, love is love, kindness is kindness. And I'm not here to bash anybody, but I'm here to tell the truth. And that's not love, in the sense of the love of God is much more than just stuff that makes people happy. Like, we can make people happy all day long, but what kind of love that we need to bring to the world is a love that, hey, Jesus loves you, Jesus cares about you so much that He came. He didn't have to. This righteous God came down. He didn't have to do anything for us, but yet He gave us everything. He was born of a virgin. He lives and He fulfills every single prophecy that was before Him. And then He dies on the cross for our sins. And then He's risen from the grave, and He conquered sin and conquered death. And you don't want to be a part of that? It's like, how do you not want to be a part of the winning team? Nobody wants to lose. No one loves losing. No one enjoys losing. And so I want to encourage you tonight, but I'm not trying to just convince you to follow Jesus because, like, oh man, like, it's the best, like, well, it is the best thing ever. I just don't want to give you a pitiful gospel. I want to give you a gospel that's true, and a gospel that says, hey, we are more than conquerors because of Jesus and His love for us. And so with the love that we have to go out, and with these people who don't know Jesus, we don't just be like, oh, they don't know any better, so we're just going to let them pass. Or they don't know any better. No, they don't know any better. You're right. So let's shine the light on their sin, call it out, and show them, hey, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King, and Jesus loves you. And this baby that we're celebrating tonight is much more than just a baby. So let's get out, and I don't know if that gets you hyped up. It gets me pretty hyped up, I mean, if you can't tell. But I feel like we've failed as an American Christianity altogether. Not y'all, like, just American Christianity has kind of become more popularized in a sense of, like, we want everything to be cool and want everything to be shiny, but I just want to be honest with you guys and tell you that we need to stop following trends and start following Jesus, because, I mean, his name is still being glorified 2,000 years after he's gone from earth, and, like, you know, everybody else has kind of been forgotten, you know? Cults come up, and they rise up, and they go, and all of this, but, man, Jesus is, he's been here since the beginning, since as early as Genesis chapter 3, well, earlier than that, but we see him in Scripture then, and we see him in Scripture all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, and we're like, how can you not want to be a part of this love? And so my time's getting kind of short. I'm cutting it kind of over, but it's hard to really get in stuff in 12 minutes because I have a lot to say. But I really just wanted to touch on love tonight, even though I was given four topics. But I just want you to understand that Jesus does love you, and that love is not deserved by any of us, and we are unrighteous, wretched sinners that have been washed by the blood. And if you haven't, I want to encourage you to take part in that, because it's the most beautiful, most joyful, most hopeful thing we can ever be a part of. And I love you all. I'm so glad to see your faces. I haven't seen you in a pretty good bit, and I'm glad to be back, and I'm happy to be here. And it's always fun to see you. And so I want to wrap up tonight by praying. And I'm sorry if I ran a little over. Hopefully I didn't bore you or anything. So, but let's pray, and we'll move on with the service. So, God, thank you so much for tonight, and for just the few minutes I was able to be here, Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity that is not deserved at all, but still freely given, and it's much like your grace. And so, God, I just pray that tonight is for your glory, and I pray that we can leave here knowing who we serve. We serve a king that cannot be conquered and will not be conquered. And we just want to take part of the winning team. We want to be a part of your glory, and we want to share that glory with you. But, Lord, while we're here on this earth and while we're just vapors in the wind, I pray that we can glorify you with every ounce of our body, every drop of blood, everything in us. I pray that you get every single thing. And, Lord, if any points were missed tonight in the service, I just pray that ultimately you receive glory, and I pray that the gospel was provided and preached. And I just thank you so much for everyone here, and I pray that everyone has a Merry Christmas. It's for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
They'll be handing out the candles, so let's begin by singing The First Snow Whale.
Reconciled. down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the
stand with us with our lights as we sing three verses of Silent Night, Holy Night.
Seated. We'd like to thank each of you for being with our Christmas Eve service tonight. Thank you for the ones that participated in the service. We thank you for each one of those. And our praise team, thank y'all. We'd like to wish each of you a very Merry Christmas and your families. If you're visiting with us tonight, please come back on one of our regular services and be with us. And we hope you and your family all have a very Merry Christmas. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the love that you have for each of us, Lord. We thank you for sending your Son, part of you, Lord, that we may have everlasting life. Thank you again for the love that you have for us. Just help us to share your love with other people. We ask this in your name. Amen.